2 hours, 24 minutes, something like that, approaching 2.5 hours. We have Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. He's brought to you by FlexCar. Save thousands with your flexible lease at FlexCar.com. Tommy Curran, what's up?
How's everybody?
Oh, peachy.
Everything's good. Good, good, good.
What do you think of what developed today on the practice field? The version that we've seen gathering from the tweets out there are that May threw a pick, Brissett had a good day, May worked in more with the starters. How'd the quarterbacks look out there today?
Both were B-plus-ish type performances. May did have a pick, undercut by young Del Pettis on a pass intended for Yaheem Bell. It was the second time I think Yaheem Bell had had a route undercut by the same player in the practice, so that wasn't encouraging, but there was the pick. But, you know, really, May and Polk had a number of outstanding hookups to the outside. May had another really good practice, but Brissett played better, and the caveat, the massive caveat to all of this, is that they were in shells, so no pads, no contact.
We just played a clip from Jerod Mayo talking to you guys and saying that they should have a better handle on exactly who the starting quarterback is after Monday. Do you think that there's, in your opinion, is there anything that Drake May can show in Sunday's preseason game against the Commanders that would lock him into that spot? And if so, what level would he have to play at?
No. I don't think there's anything that he could do at this juncture. They are very committed to the plan. The plan is to have him sit, to go with the player that they trust and believe will put them in advantageous situations, even if Drake May has had an outstanding camp, which in the last 10 days he has had an outstanding camp, and say we're going to stay the course with it. It's great that Drake is playing better. And it's too bad Jacoby's not playing as great as they are, even though Alex Van Pelt kind of put a little buff and shine on the recent performance of Brissett. But I don't think they're going to deviate from the plan that they set out, which was to develop the third overall pick.
So why, and maybe you're answering it there, they're developing him by mixing him in with the starters. Why the change? And it's minor. It's not like he's out there like Mac Jones was in 2021 getting a ton of reps with the starters, but why all of a sudden is he getting reps with the starters?
It earned it. You know, I mean, he's closing the gap. I didn't think the gap would be closed at all. And really, after the first portion of training camp, it was actually widened by Brissett, I thought. But May has made pretty astronomical, would overstate it, very, very impressive strides. And Brissett has leveled off or even declined a bit. So they're pretty close to each other. But so he's earned it. So you give him more. I mean, if you're developing him, as you, I think, just inferred to, if you're developing him, you have to develop him by giving him these opportunities, because these opportunities are going to start to filter away.
So it was an extra long practice today, Tommy. What do you think, if you had to take an educated guess here, was the main thing they were burning the midnight oil on here with this extra time?
This was, all practices aren't created equal. And I think if you guys were down there, you'd say, oh, okay, they're just doing work on different things. This was a shells practice. They went through a lot of special teams. They went through a lot of kickoff. It's a kind of a normal Thursday practice, which would work on a number of those things, but they also added in additional things that wouldn't be worked on during a regular season week of prep. So they were doing a normal Thursday workout and then adding in some other work as well.
Okay. I guess looking at some of the reports that we got here just a few minutes ago when everybody was out of the embargo, it seemed like there was a lot of emphasis in the offensive line today and that a lot of, shifting and all of that. And we all kind of surmised that maybe that's what was taking so long and why they stayed later.
No, I wouldn't jump to any conclusions off of Shell's practice. I really, definitely not. Anything that they indicated yesterday with the padded practice, with guys moving around, I would put more stock in. If they're giving guys reps, to show what it looks like. But you can't really coach and evaluate running game if guys aren't blocking. So I would not put very much stock in this practice in any way, whether it be Jacoby Brissett's better performance or Drake May's pick, but very good performance. It's just shells, so it was tough to... I would put stock in the fact that Chad Ryland is cooked.
Okay, I've seen this. This is not going to be my lead question here, but it's Joey Sly time.
Joey Sly's good. J- Joey Sly might not mean Nick Folk good, but you guys all didn't think Nick Folk was good anyway.
That's true. That's true.
I was on the Nick Folk train. I never deviated. But he's been very, very steady from outside 50 as well. And Ryland just doesn't make kicks, period. No reason to keep the kid. God bless him. He'll find a job someplace. But he's just not making enough kicks to make the team.
I like Joey Sly from his time with the Commanders. He's got a thick body, though. He's a big boy.
He is a thick kicker.
Thick kicker.
Yeah.
Thicker.
Definitely. If any MMA stuff breaks out, you want to have Joey Sly on your side.
I want to ask you about something that Drake May said yesterday, which I thought was interesting to me, speaking to the dynamic that he has with the coaching staff, where he seemed to indicate that he wanted to take a few reps with David Andrews. He just wanted to get the feel of having David Andrews, that chemistry with the center, when he hadn't done a lot of that until he said the preseason game against the Panthers. What do you think that says about his ability to talk to Alex Van Pelt and the rest of the staff and make a request like that? Hey, can you put me with this guy from the ones, because I want that experience?
It's what he has to do, and I think that was an important balance that I think the coaching staff needed to strike this summer, and I think that they have started to do so with May's improvement. He's got to be empowered as the third overall pick to not be deferential. And I think that myself, I think that the way that the Jacoby Brissett anointing or, you know, placement as the incumbent without having kind of earned it here, the way it was portrayed, I think, throughout the offseason, and the way they spoke about Drake May made Drake kind of already feel it was kind of a redshirt year for me. So whether they spoke to him, whether he has on his own done it, I think that, or he just dawned on him, hey, I could win this job. I need to be more vocal about it. I think that is a great sign, and it's a good observation, I think, too, Mega, to make that, because it's coincided with, I think, his improvement. That, I'm not saying he's taking it more seriously, but when you grow up in the athletic family that he did, and you have that kind of inherent respect for authority and coaches and pecking orders, you don't want it to get to the point where he's like, yeah, whatever coach says. So it's good to see things like you just mentioned.
On the topic of pecking orders, Tommy, the wide receiver group, do we know, is there a decision yet, or do you think it's about to be a decision on who the top three or top four in that group's going to be? Because it seems like a lot of them have had various ups and downs over the course of the last couple weeks.
Yeah, I don't think that they'll make the decision. It's the bottom. They have to make the decisions on. The top will be so interchangeable, I think, in some ways. The eye widener is that Tyquan Thornton has risen to a point where they have put a lot of trust in him, just indicated by the reps that he gets. So Thornton, Osborne, DeMario Douglas seem like your first three. And then you got a bunch of jaggy guys who have a lot of value in different ways. Like, I don't think Kayshon Booty ever drops a friggin' ball. I just think that he can play in the NFL and be a productive player for somebody. So he's been good. Rager's been good. Made a great catch today. Javon Baker hasn't been, but he's not going anywhere. And Jalen Polk has been outstanding. So they have four players, I believe, who are at the top of the pecking order. And then you have Kendrick Bourne. But again, it's no Titans are running around out there. You're like, oh my God, what are we going to do about these guys?
Not to throw you a curveball, but would Jahan Dotson have fit into that room? Like, where would he have fit into the pecking order if they were decided to be in on him? He moved today to Philadelphia.
Is he more of a slot?
Yeah, well, he's going to play slot in Philly. Mego could probably speak to that better than I could. I thought he moved around the formation, but I think he's going to play slot in Philly. Yeah, I think.
I guess I'd say, are you looking at him being a huge enough upgrade over a player who I think is going to be a Pro Bowl-level player in DeMario Douglas? Would he be better than K.J. Osborne? Maybe. This just doesn't feel like the time. I don't know enough about Jahan Dotson's overall, the kind of his jib at this moment. I know he's been productive, and I've looked at him in free agency in the past and said, I might be a guy, but they got their guys for better or worse. But it's a good question. There's value in it. There's value in the question, Jonesy.
Yeah, I'm just curious. And again, maybe we'll find out they were more in than we realized. They've been interested in some players they haven't closed the deal on before. So I tell me if I'm misrepresenting what you said on television last night. You're okay with Alex Van Pelt making the call on the quarterback? Am I misrepresenting how you portrayed that?
No, that's what I said, and I believe it to be the way it should be, because it shouldn't be Elliot Wolf. And I think that Mayo, as a supervisor, and this is kind of what I said, as a supervisor, as the, keep thinking of this place like a warehouse, okay? And he's the supervisor of the whole warehouse. And he goes to the people who are in charge of whatever little branches of the warehouse and says, how are you guys doing? What do you think? What do you need? What are we going to do? And the person makes a recommendation based on the things in his particular corner of the warehouse that he thinks will work best. And it's on the supervisor to take that or overrule it. Mayo is a first-year head coach who's already called Van Pelt the head coach of the offense. I believe should defer to the recommendation of Van Pelt. And if he has to throw the caveat in, I think May's been great. And if he keeps improving, let's figure out a window to get him in there, because I really want to use him sooner rather than later. I think that would be the mature way to go about it. So, but yeah, you're right. I think Van Pelt should make a call.
Okay, so but you think Mayo has the autonomy to overrule him. You just think he may not enact that. At what point could you see him enacting that?
I couldn't see that happening at any point in 2024. I just don't think these guys sit there and dig themselves in so deep where they're like, I'm not starting Drake, May, Gerard. They would have a conversation and come to an agreement about it. I don't think it works that way, where somebody's going to have to make any demands in the first year. Like, I don't think that if Alex Van Pelt, and as Mayo said yesterday, we're seeing it the same way in the entire competition. So they're already on the same page. I don't know what it would take. If Jacoby's throwing 5 picks a game and he wants to keep getting trotted out there by Van Pelt, then May would have to say, for our own good, he's not playing.
Okay, he's Tommy Curran. Check out his work with Phil Perry, NBC Sports Boston, all over WEEI here. Tom, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
All right, guys. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Tom.
Tommy Curran joining us here on WEEI again, presented by FlexCars. That's interesting. Mayo has the autonomy. He's going to probably not overrule Van Pelt, but he could. He also doesn't see him doing that in 2024. And I do get what Tom's saying. Like, you know, he's not going to come in and he's not going to step on toes. But that is the head coach's. Like, I think at the end of the day, we all agree the head coach should be in charge of who's on the field. So it's just weird to me he would punt on that, especially when he's known for at least a year, maybe two, he's going to get this job. But I'm not telling you that's not how it is. I just think that's an odd setup.
Getting the job and having the job are different. And I also think that the reason why it would be concerning is if you feel like, is he not confident enough in being the leader of all the leaders?
Yeah, or is he afraid to be the one making the decision? Because if you're the one making the decision, you're the one who's going to get saddled with it. So, again, is Van Pelt a bit of a... Van Pelt feels very fungible. Like, if they have a terrible year on offense, maybe Van Pelt's gone. And he takes the fall for the way things went on offense, and it gives Mayo some security. So maybe it's more calculated than we're giving it credit for. 617-779-7937. Arkham with the latest in trending, and we're right back.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.